today on Real Radio.
I'll give you a check, but don't ask for my time. That's too expensive. You see? Well, if I give you my time, now that's costly. Listen, God does not accept gifts to him that are not costly. David said, "Shall I give unto the Lord that which cost me nothing?"
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called True Christian Ministry, continues a series now called the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey, of course, begins in Jerusalem, but very soon spreads to the Gentile world through Peter, John, and Philip, and through the miraculous conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes known as the Apostle Paul. Now, in a message called Who is a Christian from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 23, we learned that a Christian is someone who preaches the gospel not only with words, but with their lifestyle. And a Christian is one who both encourages other believers and who perseveres by studying God's Word to prepare for ministry. And now in Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30, we'll see how a true Christian ministry is made up of three parts. There's the spiritual aspect to ministry, the meaningful acts of ministry, and the practical side to ministry. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that true Christian ministry is practical. But it's not always about how much we give towards the ministry. It's about how much it actually costs us that counts, both in our time as well as our tithes and offerings. It's all about giving to the best of our abilities. And now continuing his lesson called True Christian Ministry, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Brethren, I would not have you be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. The word ignorant means to be uninformed. Do you know? If you don't, Paul says, don't be ignorant anymore. You got to know. In your notes, jot them down for future homework. You need to research Romans chapter 12 concerning the gifts. Do you have the gift? Ephesians 4:11, you need to do that. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12, 13, and 14, or chapters 12, 13, and 14. You need to find out what your gift is and then use it. It's going to take some guts, though, because you got to try. But if you're led by the Spirit of God, your ministry will be spiritual. Next point, in verses 28 to 29, we see that true Christian ministry is meaningful or purposeful. Remember the guy I told you about, send in your money so I can get this $5.5 million home on the beach? Is that meaningful ministry? Is that purposeful? Well, it depends on which end of the check I guess you're on, huh? God's ministry is meaningful. It means it blesses the body. The body is growing. The body is strengthened by a meaningful ministry. What is the point here on this, or what is the example? Agabus, his ministry was a declaration that a famine was coming. It meant a lot to those giving and those receiving. It was prophetic. It came to pass. And look what he says in verse 28. It says that this famine was coming throughout the whole world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. And I appreciate that because Luke wrote the book of Acts in 61 AD. Listen, that's when he compiled all of his notes. Luke had been taking notes for, you know how many years? 30 years he had been collecting notes concerning his eyewitness accounts of the book of Acts. You know, the book of Acts spans 30 years of ministry. That's why it says right here, and you ought to circle this. If there's any doubters in the group, this is excellent. This is authority speaking here. Out of the word, he says, that famine happened, by the way, in the time of Claudius Caesar. That was 46 AD. There were a series of four famines that hit the land over the course of 13 years, but the worst one hit in 46 AD. By the way, this is not Christian history. This is secular history. The worst famine, 46 AD, so ravaged the area of Judea that the citizens of the area tried to kill Claudius Caesar because he wasn't doing enough about it. It was an actual historical event. Now, Luke, who's writing later, 61 AD, puts it in. By the way, this was fulfilled. is what he's saying. That means a lot. You ought to circle that and get all excited because your Bible is authentic. It's authoritative. And that's why Luke put that in there. Very, very important. It says in verse 29, then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. The word then draws you immediately back to verse 28. Why is there the word then? It's an action word. They hear the prophecy or somehow see it. And what do you think they do? Well, you know, let's pray about it. What this guy's saying is that the church down in Jerusalem area, Judea, they're going to starve to death. So let's pray. They don't even pray about it. Let's take up a collection about it. They don't even do that. Let's form a committee. Oh, Lord knows nothing will happen if they do that. Agabus says, hey, listen, the Spirit has showed me that there's going to be a great famine in the area of Judea, the whole world, but specifically Judea is going to be severely ravaged by this. I just thought I'd let you guys know. The disciples, verse 29, it says, then when they heard it, they reacted. They got up and did something about it. And they did it according to their ability. Now listen here. You may have given in the offering this morning a nickel. You may have given $5,000. Do you realize that what you give in the way of the amount is absolutely meaningless to God? Do you realize that if you had 10 cents in your pocket and you gave a nickel to God and you gave 5,000 by check and you've got 180,000, which one gave the most? Jesus said, the one who gave a nickel. It's not the amount that you give, it's how much it cost you to give. You see, we're Americans. We do the American thing. Let's just throw money at it. It's easy to give money. You know what's more precious than money? At least in my life, it's time. I'll give you a check, but don't ask for my time. That's too expensive. You see? Well, if I give you of my time, now that's costly. Listen, God does not accept gifts to him that are not costly. David said, shall I give unto the Lord that which cost me nothing? Isn't that amazing? God says in Malachi chapter 3, starting at verse 8, God says, you have robbed me. And the people say, in what way have we robbed you? And he said, in that you have not given me any tithes and offerings. You have robbed me. Eek. Then he goes on to say, read all of Malachi chapter 3. He says, listen, I want to make you a deal, God says. If you give unto me, God says, his work, see to it that I will bless you back, pressed down, shaken together, smashed in, overflowing, just totally, I'll open the windows of heaven and bless your face off. Kinda, that's not exactly what it's. See, the point is, God will never become indebted to you. Well, I gave the church 10 bucks. Hey, please, take your rotten $10 and keep it. God doesn't want it. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, God says, no whining, grumpy givers. He says, you must give joyfully from your heart or keep it. And the word joyfully is hilarious. It is the word in the Greek, hilarious. That's the word. The offering comes by, ha, 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 praise the Lord, hallelujah. There you go, God, all right. No, keep it. Don't bring your money. You need a heart transplant. You don't need a transaction. You need a new life. Isn't it funny? Isn't it bizarre? Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Isn't that weird? Isn't it awesome? It happens to be money. Well, you know what? You go to Russia or somewhere else, and it's not money. It's food. You can hoard it, or you can share it. Somebody walks by with $1 zillion, big deal. If it can't buy food, it's worthless. You see, in our culture, it's money. In some other cultures, it's food. But isn't it funny? Whatever is deemed precious to a culture, it's the thing that is in great demand, whatever that thing might be. But these guys have a very, very meaningful heart, this church does. In verse 29, then the disciples, each according to his ability. The word ability means what has been actually given. And there's a parable. You might want to jot this down. There's a message that Jesus laid out in Matthew chapter 25, specifically verses 22 to 29. But that whole chapter is great. But Jesus talks about talents. And I'm not talking talents like can you sing and dance. We're talking about what God has deposited in your life with the ability to do. And God says there, Jesus is speaking. He says, you know what? The owner of the kingdom, he gave to each of his men a certain amount or a certain ability. And then he went away on a far journey. And to one guy, he gave 10 talents, one guy five, one guy three, one guy one. And he came back after a long period of time to collect from his investment. Now, isn't that reasonable? What do you do when your CD or whatever is goofing up? You call the guy or whatever. What's going on? Boy, we won't miss a day on that, will we? We're so careful. Got to keep an eye on it. Got to be a good steward, you know? You know, I tried that line, guys, when I got a brand new car. I had a beautiful black T-Bird. I would buff that thing, almost rub the paint off that car. And I used to try to convince myself that I had to park sideways out in the parking lots 5 miles from the store because I was a good steward. That was baloney. I didn't want anybody to scratch my idol. But he comes back and he says to the one, I gave you 10. What have you done with it? And he said, you know what, Lord? I took the 10 that you gave me and I invested it and I got 10 more. I got 20 now. And the Lord says, excellent. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You did a good job. Goes to the one with five. What did you do with the five I gave you? I invested and I got five more. Awesome. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What did you do with your three? I made three more. Good job. He goes to the guy that's got one little gift, one little talent that was precious to the giver, the Lord. And he said, now, what have you done with the one? And he said, well, I know that you're very, very scary. You're austere. I tremble in your presence. And I know that you're very resourceful and you even collect things from people who you didn't even give to people. You're very, very authoritative and resourceful. And so I took what you gave me and I buried it in the ground. So here it is. You can have it back. And Jesus says, why didn't you give it at least to the bank? So that I could have collected interest and I could have had at least 6% or 3% out of the deal. You didn't do anything with it. And you read the rest of that story. And Jesus said what he had was taken away from him. Why do I tell you this, Christian, this morning? Because you will never be complete as a believer. You will never feel complete. You will never be able to sit back and say, you know what? This has been an awesome week. If you keep sitting on your egg, that egg wants to hatch. I know it's scary. I know if you're a believer that you're to have a gift, that's in the Word of God, that's certain. It's scary to exercise it, but you gotta try. And if you're visiting from some other church, go back to that church and you try. But serve Him. The ministry is not only of the Spirit, but is meaningful and it will bless. According to their ability. Real quick, and then we'll keep going on this. Ability. Jesus was at the Last Supper serving up the meal right there. He just told them, I'm going to go die. Now think about this. The lights are down. We got candles going. They're all laying around a table. Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to be betrayed and I'm going to die. And the one who's going to betray me is at this table. And it's going to be really something, you know. And he takes and an argument breaks out at the table about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Ability. Peter goes, well, that's got to be me. I'm going to be the greatest. I mean, after all, look at me. And John looks at him and says, man, you stink like fish. There's no way you can be the greatest. I'm going to be the greatest. And Matthew says, wait a minute. I'm the guy with the brains around here. I'm the one with all the number-keeping abilities here. I'm going to be. They're arguing among themselves after Jesus just announces, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. And the one who's going to betray me into the hands of the sinners, well, he's right here right now. Yeah? No kidding. John, you think you're going to be the greatest? Can you believe that? Ability. But these believers determined from their hearts what they would give according to the ability that God has blessed them with. And they sent, verse 29, relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea, and that's the final point. True Christian ministry is practical. It's practical. It means something to people. It's spiritual because God gets the glory. God will minister to this church through you. And you might be saying right now, you might be a little convicted after that last verse about maybe I'm sitting on my talent. Well, you know what? Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. But before you judge yourself, and I don't want to dampen what the Lord might be saying to you, but in some ways, you're still being blessed, though I don't want you to rest in your sleepy state. I'll explain by this. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said concerning ministry, he said, I was naked, I was homeless, I was hungry, I was in prison, and you came and you visited me. And in that message, the person responds and they say, Lord, when were you naked? When were you hungry? When were you homeless? And Jesus says, oh, well, you see, in as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. You see, when you fed that guy or when you went and saw that guy in prison or when you kept clothes on them, it was really me. That was me that you were affecting. Wow, Lord, thanks. I didn't know. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then it says he will turn to those on his left and he'll say, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was homeless and you didn't take me. And I was in prison and you didn't even visit me. And they say, Lord, when were you homeless, naked and hungry and in prison? When? And Jesus said, as much as you did not do it to the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it to me. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And they cast them out. And you might be sitting here this morning saying, ouch, I've not clothed the naked. I haven't fed the hungry. That may or may not be true. This is the qualifying statement. And please don't take this wrong if you don't know the attitude and the philosophy of this church. Don't take it wrong. But if you tithe to this church, if you give to this work, you have kept mothers in their homes this winter, widows. You may not even know who they are. You may not have personally went and fed that family and, by the way, heated them through the winter this year. You're not even aware of it, but you did. And you're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to open up the book and he's going to have people on the right and on the left. And you're going to find yourself on the right side of the Lord. And you're going to be going, how'd I make it here? Because by the grace of God, the men that comprise the board of this church took your $5 and sent it into Southern California Edison so that family would not go cold. And I like that. And I like telling you that, to be quite honest with you. I boast in the Lord. It's precious. But as a church, if we're going to survive, listen, God has blessed this place because you people are crazy about giving. Something comes on the, crosses the announcement. And you guys give. The homeless ministry needs turkeys. Well, for crying out loud, you guys about robbed and pillaged every turkey in the state to supply turkeys. We make an announcement. We need clothes for the homeless. We got too many clothes, too much clothes. Then we make an announcement. We need this or this person. Too much. Okay, tell them to stop. Too much. That's wonderful. This place is blessed of God. Why? Because it is the Word of God. The Word of God teaches the people, instructs the people, schools the people. Look what happens. In the latter end, ministry is practical. It says in end of verse 29 and 30, they sent relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did. They sent to the elders at the hands of Barnabas and Saul. They send their two teachers to take the financial offerings down to the elders in Jerusalem. They were taught the word of God. The church at Antioch took in Bible for the space of 1 year. They got so full of Bible, you know what happens? It flows out of you. It falls out of you. That's why Agabus makes his announcement and they respond. Why? They got Bible in them. They're not giving to Paul and Barnabas, they're giving to God. And so the relief goes down by the hands of their own teachers to Jerusalem to bless them. I want to ask you a question, and I love this. I read a bunch of books, I didn't see this in here. But then I looked at my own life and I saw it in here. Agabus came and he announced the need, right? There's going to be a famine. Let me ask you, when they took up from their hearts their offering unto the Lord to send with Barnabas and Paul, or Saul, had the famine started? No, absolutely not. God knew all along. God voiced it through Agabus in advance concerning the famine. The money came down and they said, hey, you know what? There's going to be a famine. Save it. You're going to need it. Question. Have you ever worked an hour overtime? And you say, oh boy, now I can get that, you know, whatever it is. Oh man, I got 3 hours overtime this week. Hot dog, what am I going to do with all this money? Just get in your car and go down the freeway. And your carburetor blows up. Doesn't it? You know what I'm talking about? IRS check. We got an IRS refund. Hang on. You better believe it. Your house is going to burn down or something nuts. It happens every time. Man, I'll do a wedding or I'll do some teaching somewhere and I'll get an honorarium. It's like, hot dog. Look at this. I put it in the bank, and the next day later, I got to buy a new carburetor. Isn't that funny? And you go, oh, man, you know, the scripture says money, Proverbs says money takes wings and flies away as an eagle. Isn't that true? Isn't that funny? Why is that the case? Because God knows in advance what's going to happen to you. So he gives you the overtime so you can buy a new tire. Isn't that good of God? But I want to get a $5.5 million house on the beach. Well, you won't as you're a Christian, predominantly speaking. So if you're a Christian businessman, maybe you will. That's another story. But not in the ministry. If you do, you need to go talk to Romaine or somebody. I don't know. But you see how ministry is done in the Holy Spirit. It's going to be very, very effective. It's going to be very practical. It's going to be very real. It's going to be touchable. It's going to be there. It's not flamboyant. It's not stupid. It's not squandered. And don't look at me thinking that that only applies to me. Because you are kings and priests in the domain of God. And you are called to be pastors, evangelists, and servants wherever you go. And that's a very, very serious thing.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called True Christian Ministry. Thanks for listening. And when ministry is done through the Holy Spirit, it will be real, touchable, and effective. True Christian Ministry is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, in looking at what true Christian ministry is, we have a tendency to think that we have to be a Peter or a John or even just like the Apostle Paul, and we often forget that they had their own share of struggles, mistakes, and setbacks. True Christian ministry is about being yourself as you learn, grow, and discover what God wants to do with your life. That's why Pastor Jack offers a variety of Christian videos to watch when you click on the Home tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Some of the videos that have been offered are on topics such as real life basics, about how, as you mature in Christ, what will be the true you? All About Your Salvation is another great one if you're just starting out in your walk with Christ. And the video, God, Marriage, and Divorce, is about how marriages are being attacked in today's culture. So check out the website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. There's always something happening on the Home tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.